So he took it personally that you yes. were making more money than he was. And rather than celebrate that, like yeah. a decent person, he got upset. It's crazy mm-hmm. to me.
And highlighted the fact that he had a better education than I did. Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast Future Rich. I am your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I'm very excited to have our lovely editor, Amy, on. Hi, Amy.
Hi, everybody. It's really weird to be on the podcast, and I'm going to have to edit myself later. But thank you so much for the introduction and for all of your support over the past few years.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fun to kind of turn the tables. Once in a while, we have you or Potter come on just to, you know, for a change of pace here. And I figured this would be a great time to have you on for our season wrap up. This is going to be our last episode for 2022.
I know, it's crazy. We only have, 32 days left of 2022? It feels like 2019 still. So, yeah.
I feel like we skipped it went really slow in some regards, but in other regards, it feels like we skipped a few years.
I know, it's crazy.
I still haven't left the country. I used to travel a lot, like pre-COVID, and I still haven't really gotten my butt over to Europe or South America or done anything since COVID. So hopefully 2023 is the year.
Well, you're going to do that on our break? Mm-hmm. Maybe go somewhere?
Maybe I'll go somewhere on our break. No, I don't. But I like the last minute ones. I don't stress. It's like, I like it to not be as planned generally. I like everything else planned. I like all your finances planned. But when it comes to travel, it's like nice just to be like, oh, I have an easy work week. I can probably pop off and take a couple days.
Oh my God. I would not expect you to be the person that's like taking weekend trips to like Spain or Portugal, but I hope that you do. You deserve it. I don't know if you guys know how hard Barb works, but she works probably 500 times harder than she lets off on her life and in her life. You get fun, excited, like you get Barb on the podcast, but Barb has a crazy life outside of the podcast, which I'm excited to talk a little bit more about today.
Yeah, so we're going to chat a little bit about that. And then one thing I really wanted to chat about on the podcast, and so I appreciate you coming on to chat about it with me. I don't think it would be as much fun alone. But I was trolling Instagram, which is probably not what I should do with my free time. And I came across a really interesting video by Stephanie O'Connell. I think her full name is Stephanie O'Connell Rodriguez. And she is the podcast host for Money Confidential, which is Real Simple's money podcast. And she has been posting some really interesting videos on Instagram about women breadwinners. So in a heterosexual relationship, so man and woman marriage, what the statistics are on the female out-earning the male. And it has some like pretty bad statistics on it.
Really? Can you elaborate on the statistics? I'm scared.
Yeah. So over the years, obviously with women, you know, making more sense on the dollar and more women go to college than men. So obviously women are earning more and more. So currently, according to Bureau of Labor Statistics, or the most recent statistics, women are the primary breadwinners, 38% of marriages. But research done by the University of Chicago Booth School of Business found that a married woman earning more increased the probability of unhappiness in her marriage. And this is crazy. The study found that a woman making even $5,000 more a year, which is like not a huge amount, than her husband, was at a greater risk of divorce.
Wow.
I'll continue. And then data from a U.S. National Survey of Families and Households found that those who reported being happy with their marriage declined when a woman earns more than her husband, with the likelihood of divorce increasing by 50%.
What? I wonder how much that's increased over the years. Do you think that this is like a steady increase of like women out earning men, or?
Yes. So I think since probably the 60s or the 70s, where women statistically did not out earn men, right? This is now really changing. And I think it's going to be, I think there'll be more research done and there'll be more data coming out, because now that women, I think more women go to college than men, so therefore more women have college degrees, therefore they will be out-earning more likely, or should be out-earning, right, because they have higher education. So 38%, I mean, that's almost at parity where it's a, right, so we get up to 50, then it means if you were to randomly select, you know, heterosexual couples, then 50% of them, right? The female out-earns the male. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, even though women are doing better financially, right, and career-wise, it hasn't changed that old school dynamic where, and you see it all the time in like Hollywood, right? Like where all of a sudden the wife like becomes a bigger movie star and then they get divorced.
Yeah, definitely. It's not just about money. It's kind of about status too, isn't it?
Yes, I definitely think status plays into it. And the interesting thing is, I don't think it changes that. Like, just because you make more money, then does it really? So one of the videos that she does is like, does it really change the dynamic in the household? Like, who's doing? Like, how is the equity divided of household chores? Right. So mm-hmm. you might be earning more, but you're maybe still carrying more of the mental load or workload of the house. So it's interesting, and I do think that we'll continue to see women being the breadwinners, and you'll see, I think that percentage, hopefully you'll see increase, right? That means just women are making more money, which is great. But it's right. interesting that it has a negative effect on married life.
That is super interesting. And I can't say that I'm not, I mean, it is shocking, but it's, there is part of it that isn't surprising to me. And maybe we can unpack that a little bit, just that to me, a lot of women feel, and this is also like part of a societal pressure too now, which I think is a good thing to have more equality in their lives. And money, whether we like it or not, has a lot of power. I know we talk a lot about how money holds mm-hmm. so much power in our
holds
lives.
A lot of power.
And when women make more money, it changes the relationship that they have with their partner in the sense that their partner expects them to still do everything else that they would have done if they were just a stay-at-home partner.
Correct. Yep.
So is that really equal if no. the woman is woman, if the woman in the relationship is earning more money, working more, and is still expected to do the same amount of chores around the house or provide more emotional stability, be someone's therapist and also their housekeeper and also their lover and also the breadwinner? It's not really surprising to me. And that's sad to say, but yeah, I mean, maybe we could talk about that more and like what your thoughts are on it coming from a certified financial planner standpoint.
Yes, I think it's really interesting. And I think it depends on the dynamic of the relationship and basically what. So I think you're probably better off when you're going into the relationship if you start out as the breadwinner. Does that make sense? So like you've already set the standard of like, I make more and this is how things are going to be divisible in the household and in our relationship. And this is how we're going to divide up. Because as you've listened to on the podcast, everyone does it differently. Right. So some people do it percentage, some people do it 50-50. Everyone has like a different way they do it where it feels comfortable and feels equitable to them. It's not what works for somebody doesn't work for somebody else. And a perfect example of that is I said on the podcast, I would do it percentage wise. That's how like I said that felt like when I was talking to a woman on the podcast, I thought percentage wise seemed like a good balance for that particular relationship. And she liked that.
Yeah.
Then my partner came to me and said, let's do percentage. And I was like, no, it's not fair to me. And he was like, why? You said it on the podcast. You said percentage is fair. And so you'll pay 95% of everything and I'll pay 5%. And I was like, yeah, no, that does not work for me. I don't care if that's what I said on the podcast. Because for me, in my personal situation, 95 and 5 does not feel like a fair percentage. It's one thing if it's 60-40, right? Or even 70-30, but 95-5 did not work for me. So
right. And it also, too, depends with your relationship. Like, is your partner picking up in other ways? Like, do they mm-hmm. provide a lot of emotional support for you? Do they take care of the house? Do they plan things out? Like, what kind of role does that have in your relationship if he thinks that you need to be doing 95% of the financial stuff? I mean,
I was like, yes.
I'm not trying to drag him or anything.
So that was my argument was, well, you don't do, if I did 95% of the financial, right, and you do 5%, mm-hmm. that's nice. That's a lot on my shoulders to take care of mortgages and, right, it's a lot of overhead. Yeah. You then have to do 95% of running the household, right? Like that.
Yes.
But that wasn't what was happening, right? So the rental income was my responsibility, getting the rent mm-hmm. set up, dealing with the tenants. So it was like, well, no, that's my money. I do all that work. So no, that's not getting to me. That was like a separate entity. That's a separate business. I'm running it. I'm doing it. I'm maintaining it. I've established, you know, so I was like, I'm not sharing that. But I'm also I found it not very good at sharing. So I think going into relationships is easier if you start out I think it's a different dynamic when maybe you started out not making as much and then all of a sudden you're making more, because I do think that changes the dynamic, or can, not always, doesn't have to, but I do think it can change the dynamic of the relationship. And I'll give you a personal story. And I'll say this happens to everybody. So I took a break. So I worked at Bloomberg and then I worked at Credit Suisse. But between Bloomberg and Credit Suisse, I did a financial planning startup, which clearly was unsuccessful. But for those, for that time frame, I was a waitress. I was waiting tables in a really fun bar in Hoboken. And so I didn't have a lot of money, right? So I waited tables, had my startup, but just had like enough to like pay rent and get by. And so I started dating a guy and he was doing really well financially. And so he, which I was okay with at the time because I had no money. So he paid for everything for me, for the most part. We went to dinner, he paid. We got a taxi, he paid. We went away. I don't even know if we went away. Maybe we didn't go away. We'll just say he paid for all the dinners, paid for bar, because I didn't have a ton of money. So that was fine. And I was, I did not feel, I actually didn't mind it at all. It was probably the, it was the first time in a dating dynamic where the person made significantly more. And I was like, this is actually pretty nice. Like, I everything gets paid for.
Yeah.
So it was a nice change for me because I was used to like splitting things with previous boyfriends. Like I'd split things and we were like more comparable and I made like a little bit more, but like more on the equal side as far as I can remember. And so we would split flights and we would split dinners and split things for the most part. And so this was like a really interesting change to like not be making a lot of money and then have somebody like be like, don't worry about it. I'll pay for dinner. I'll pay for taxi, blah, blah, blah. Then what happened is my boss called me back to work and was like, I'd like you to come back. Same group at Bloomberg and Credit Suisse. I'd like you to come back to work. And I was like, okay. So I went back to work on Wall Street. And so my salary jumped, as you can imagine, significantly from being a waitress and having a startup, which I wasn't making any money on, to being back on Wall Street. And so I was just, as you know me from the podcast, I'm very transparent. So I told the guy I was dating at the time what I was going to, my starting base salary. And now on Wall Street, you also get really good bonuses. But I told him the base salary. And he was appalled. Like, he was so angry about it.
Angry.
I was like, you should be happy for me. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't maybe these exact words, but in the vicinity of these words of, I went to an Ivy League undergraduate school and I have an MBA and you were making more money than me and you're a I think he said you're a waitress. I was like, no.
Wow.
First of all, there's nothing wrong with waiting tables. I did it for years. It's great income. I really enjoyed it. I was like, but I have the background to get this job, which is why I got the job. And I have a skill set that warrants this income. Like, I have the skills to do this job. Like, it's, they didn't make a mistake on my salary band. I also know what a salary band is, which if you don't, you should look up, but I also negotiate it very heavily to come in at the high end of it so that I was fairly compensated for the fact that I took a year off to do a startup. So I wanted to kind of be compensated for that, to end that business and go back to a corporate job. Anyway, he was so upset about this because he felt like he was significantly underpaid if I was going to make that type of money, given that he had a better, I'll just say pedigree, if you will, like he had a better undergraduate education and he had an MBA and I didn't have an Ivy League undergraduate and I didn't have an MBA. So he went in and asked for a raise like the next week.
So did they give it to him?
I do think he got it. Obviously our relationship did not work out. I don't know why that wasn't the biggest red flag ever, because I continued to date him for a bit after, but it, that should have been like, to me, obviously someone should have shook me and been like, if he doesn't support you making money, like you should. And also like, the fact, it should have been like, oh, you did a great job. And like, maybe he felt like he was underpaid as a result of finding out my salary, but it, it just changed the dynamic.
So he took it personally that you were making more money than he was. And rather than celebrate that, like a decent person, he got upset. It's crazy to me. And
highlighted the fact that he had a better education than I did. And I was like, well, education is very important. But as you hear on this podcast a lot, I try and talk people out of going back to school just for the sake of going to school. Because just because you get a very expensive degree does not directly correlate with a high income.
Yeah. And it's also not a competition with this guy.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a competition. It turned into one. But yeah, and so that was like a really interesting, because it was the first time, the only time in my dating history, like where I dated someone more than, I'm like the queen of first dates, but where I actually dated someone long enough to like call them my boyfriend or whatever, and they made more. And then once I made more, the relationship obviously had multiple red flags, but that was a big one.
Yeah. And so if you, say, hypothetically got married to this man, how would that affect it? I mean, it's crazy to think about. And such a good point that you brought up too, that if this happens when you're in a relationship, I think that like there's so much more potential for it to get really uncomfortable really fast, rather than establishing like at the beginning of the relationship, hey, this is how much I make. What are your values with money? I think that that might have really helped some people, or a lot of people, not have as much heartbreak, as just establishing like what your relationship with money is. Does it matter to you if someone makes more than you or makes less than you? How equal do you want things? How do you want to split up bills if you end up getting a house together or having a family together? So it's interesting to think about from that perspective. And I'm glad that you got out of that relationship.
Terrible relationship. But no, and so I agree with you. I think having these conversations up front like can eliminate not all problems, but some problems. You could be a bit preventative of like, okay, so if I decide to take a career break to stay home with kids, like how does that work? And who's doing the bulk of the chores? Or like what happens if I get a raise or a promotion for a job and we have to move? Like how does that, like having those conversations up front and trying to figure that out, I think, especially if you're both career people, right? And I think that's the biggest difference, right? So with women going to college at a higher percentage than men, and now starting to have this breakdown where more women are breadwinners, your career is important, right? If you've invested into that college education to get to that career path. So you might want to make sure that's prioritized. Mm-hmm. And how is that going to be done, right?
Right.
Because I think that's a big difference too, right? Is now you might have to move for a job to make the extra money. And how does that impact the relationship?
Yeah. I think that I would love to hear from the listeners too, if anyone wants to comment like on our Instagram or DM us, or if anyone wants to come on the podcast and talk about this. Like, I think that this is such an interesting topic and there's so much we can learn and there's so much that's unexplored still because it is so new.
Yeah, I actually think it's a fascinating topic. I don't think it should be like, love the idea of having your cake and eat it too. I don't think that you're destined to have an unhappy or unsuccessful marriage just because you make money. Like, I think that's no. Right? But that's kind of what the research shows. And I don't think it needs to be the case. I just think you need to find the right partner. And I think you need to have conversations. And I think sometimes it's easy to like skip the tough conversations or just to assume that you're on the same page rather than to kind of hash it out. Mm-hmm. But I also think what I think is really interesting is my current partner now, it is a lot more common within his social circle that they're stay-at-home dads. So, which I think that part of it is like, if you're the only stay-at-home dad, then you're kind of like the odd person out, right? If you're the only one doing it. So I think as these dynamics start to change, if it's more socially acceptable, right, that you're a stay-at-home parent, because you don't see stay-at-home dads as often.
Yeah. No, I don't know anyone who has a stay-at-home dad or grew up with that.
Right. So I know one person I know two people who had stay-at-home dads and they loved it and their dads are great. But it was definitely more rare then because they're in their early 30s and late 30s. But I think it's really fascinating because my partner wants to be a stay-at-home dad, would be happy to. He's going to work half the year instead of he works eight months or 9 months a year, and he'll work 6 months a year if we have kids. And so, but for him, he's going to have like a bunch of dad friends to go do things with, right? Because he'll be like one of a handful of people that are stay-at-home dads. Well, the wives are all the like professional breadwinners. So it's standard in his group of friends that the wife is the like more career focused. They have careers. Their careers are just not high earning careers. Mm-hmm. And so I also think that plays a part into it, right? Because it's more socially acceptable and you have a built-in social network.
Yeah. Right? No, I mean, that sounds great. And it's great that he communicates that with you rather than you having to like kind of fish that out of him for him to be like, no, I want that responsibility. Barbara, let me be the stay-at-home dad. you keep working. I'm going to take care of the house. I'm going to take care of the kid. It's good that you guys communicate.
Well, I, you know, despite the vacations not being planned, I really like to plan everything else. And so obviously on his income, there is no way it could support a household. Like, it can support him perfectly fine, but it couldn't support a household. So it wouldn't be possible for him just to work and for us to have the same lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So the only way for it to work would be for me to continue to be the primary breadwinner, which means I'd have to work full time, which means I wouldn't be able to stay home. And so mm-hmm. then the conversation came up like, well, would you want to do that if you could maintain your winter job? And he was like, yeah, there's like a bunch of guys that do it. So I was like, you do?
That makes me really happy. I feel like that also just shows like a level of confidence in him, that he's like comfortable with himself and with his masculinity to say, no, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to take care of the kids. And I think that that might contribute to that statistic that you shared, that a lot of marriages are unhappy because of, what was it, 38% are unhappy because the woman makes more money? Is that a masculinity thing? Is that a, like, what is that?
So that's the interesting thing. So it's basically the statistic is 38% in marriage, heterosexual marriages, women are the breadwinners. But the study found that women making even $5,000 more a year than husband are at greater risk of divorce. And they say that greater risk is as high. Likelihood of divorce is increased by 50% by out-earning your husband. Mm. And so I think it comes down to a dynamic shift, right? And that's why you see it all the time in Hollywood when the unknown actress, right, the wife all of a sudden becomes the movie star. And then they, you know, get divorced because of conflicting schedules. Because remember, when you have two careers that are both high earners, now you have conflict, right? You would have, I would think, you would have demands for that high income.
Yeah.
So now if you have two different travel schedules and two different corporate needs or business needs, right? It's a lot. It's all encompassing. And so rather than having one be the primary person and the other person having a little bit more of a support role where we can go where you need to go, or if you're going to be on the road this week, I'll be home, right? Mm-hmm. Especially once you have kids, right? If you're single, I think it's easier dynamic. I think once you have kids, it's a little bit harder, like who's going to take care of them if you're both on the road all week.
Right. Yeah.
And I think the dynamic can change over the course of a marriage. And so I think that's why it's just important to have the conversations of like, what does this look like if you want to be the primary earner and I'm not, or vice versa, or if we both are for a time frame, like how do we handle that? And then how do we handle the division of labor at home, right? Because mm-hmm. running a household is a lot of work.
Oh yeah, it's a full-time job.
Yeah, it's a full-time
job. And then some. And it's also emotionally taxing in a way that a job might not be too.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing that I think compounds this is, despite this change, right, they still say, the research still shows that 2/3 of men say they make their household investment decisions, despite the fact that women answer the question, like 6 out of 10 say they wish they had more confidence in financial decision making.
Wow. So that gender gap about calling the financial shots, I wonder why that is.
Do you have any insight? No, women just tend to, I think, naturally undervalue their own abilities a bit. You know, it's getting, I think, better and better. But I would say, generally speaking, right, like the statistic shows for a career that if a woman and a man are both reviewing what's necessary to apply for a position, women will actually do it literally. Like, you need 5 years experience. Like, I only have 4.5. Men will be like, I have 3, but I can, you know, rounds up to 5. It's no problem. You know, they're just like a little bit overconfident sometimes. Not all men, but if you had to stereotype the genders. And so I just think that women are good at making financial decisions. I think that they make better financial decisions. And in my experience, they do a great job with their finances, even if they don't think they are. They just need a little bit more confidence with it. So I don't actually think they're bad at it. I just think they lack some confidence in that arena.
Hmm. Yeah.
But you would think, as women become the breadwinners, that they'd have, you would think the confidence with that would also skew up.
Oh, yeah, totally. And it's interesting that this ratio exists, the 2/3 ratio of men making their household's financial investments decisions. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes me think about this. I don't know what the quote is from or where, but it was just saying, talking about how men in the 50s would make all the money in the household, but a lot of the women were like the bookkeepers. Is that right?
Yeah. And so that's the statistic, right? And that statistic comes from, let me see, TD Ameritrade mm-hmm. is the one that did that survey. I still believe that even if the men say they make the decision, they can't make it without, like, especially in heterosexual, they can't make it without their wife being like, okay. Because generally, that doesn't work well. Like if you just go and blindly make the decision. So I do think that's changing. That's what they say. But I would say as an advisor, which I do in my day job, I always want to deal with both people because it's a household decision generally. And I think both parties should be involved. And I find that most people that I deal with don't do anything without checking with their spouse. And I find that women make more of the decisions. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, as they should be. It should be an equal decision. It should be something that you talk to your partner about. It all goes back to communication too.
Yeah. And honestly, usually what you see in a household, not always, but usually there's one person who's a lot more interested and prefers to do it. And the other person who's like, nah, this is not my thing. Like whatever he mm-hmm. or she wants to do. And it goes both ways. Sometimes it's the women and the men. It just depends on the dynamic of the relationship. But sometimes with the men, I'm just like, well, I just have to check with you because it's your account. So you have to give the verbal. And they'll be like, whatever she says, I'll do. I'm just like, okay. But I do have to verify it with you first because it is your account.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the dynamic. I do think generally there's one person who enjoys doing that work more than others. But I think women are pretty good at money. I just think they lack some of the confidence. But hopefully I hope that starts to change. I mean, we're seeing, I think, especially like with TikTok and stuff, you're seeing more women give advice and give education on this topic than you have previously.
Yeah, definitely. And I would love to see more of the women that are giving the financial advice on this topic talk about what their dynamics are like with their partners and if they've noticed a shift once they've become, say, once they start earning more money than their partner, if that happens, if they've noticed that there is that change in the relationship and, you know, what shifts with the husbands or the partners when they notice that their spouse, who is a woman or female identifying, starts to make more money. Like, I don't think that this is talked about enough. I don't know if you have experience talking about it with your friends or not, or with anyone else in your life, but I definitely haven't talked to anyone about this.
Yeah, no one talks about it because money is still, unfortunately, like taboo. And so people don't talk about it. And it like, still really bothers my mother that like I am so open about this stuff. Still, like, you're not supposed to talk about money, and I'm like, it's my job. So one of the Nadia, who we had, who is the feminine care products co-founder for It's August, or founder, mm-hmm. not co-founder, yeah. for It's August, she went on Tori Dunlap's podcast, and they talked about it for a little bit. It was a long interview. It was a really good interview though. So if you haven't listened to it, I would definitely recommend listening to it. And they both talked about how hard it is to be a high earning female in dating. And now,
I'm out
of the dating cesspool. So I'm very thankful for that. But I did find that it was really hard to date and be a high income earner. I found that it sounds like really, everyone's like, oh no, I would love that. Yeah, no, that's not true. Not true when you go on a date with me, because people become very insecure about their own situations and their own self-worth the second they start figuring out that, like, because you can kind of figure out that someone's making decent money. So like one gentleman I went on a date with, I thought he was great. And I shouldn't have said it, but I said something like, oh, my property in New York. And he was like, property in New York? I was like, oh yeah, I have a place in New York. And he's like, and you have a place here? And I was like, yeah, I have two places. And I knew that was like the beginning of the end. I was like, whoa.
I have two places. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I don't have any places.
I'm just kidding. I'm renting. I haven't bought anything. And he didn't say it exactly. But he, you know, I knew that was like probably a little bit intimidating, and it shouldn't be intimidating. I don't think, like, I thought he was a nice person, but it seemed like that was like a bit off-putting is the only way to describe it. Like it was a little bit intimidating.
Yeah. And that kind of makes me think about this idea that I've seen floating around, especially on TikTok lately, where a lot of girls are talking about being more feminine and reclaiming their feminine energy. And I really wanted to ask you this question. What do you think about that? Like, do you think that money should be masculine or feminine? Like, why is money being gendered?
I think it's bullshit. But here's what I was told by a coach, because I was having such a hard time dating. I hired a coach. And I was told that I have too much masculine energy because what it takes to be successful in business is masculine energy. Now, I don't know anything about this.
Are you
this
kidding?
Is just what I, no, this is not, this is what I was told, and I paid to be told this. And I was told with dating, I need to show up more feminine because even though masculine energy is what I'm told that I'm masculine, that doesn't work with dating. And so I need to it kind of felt like I needed to kind of like hide who I was, which FYI, I did not do that at all. So I did not listen.
Great. I'm glad that you didn't.
Yeah, I did not listen. And I think it worked out better that I didn't listen, because like it would have been inauthentic, I think.
Yeah.
Like running my businesses is a big part of my life. So it's like really hard to show up. And there's other aspects of my life, right? Like a great friend, amazing friends, great family. I travel. I like to do outdoor activities until I break something. And so it would have been inauthentic to just like not mention like 80% of my time, which is spent on work, like just to like breeze over that. Like, well, yeah, I work. No, I'm passionate about my businesses. I have three of them.
Yeah. So, and then you're hiding something and you're being inauthentic and lying.
Yeah, kind of, because then all of a sudden you find out, like, and I don't want to be a workaholic, but I do work a lot. And so if I led with the, oh yeah, like I finish work at 5, like I work, but it's not my whole life, like that's 100% a lie. It is like 100% my whole life. Like, I, you know, maybe it shouldn't be, but it kind of is. Like, it impacts every single thing I do. And so
it is right now too.
Yeah, it is. You know? So when we went on vacation, like I have to bring my laptop with me. I've never traveled without it. And I have to log in every morning and do work on vacation. Like, that's just my life. And so like, if I had said, like, led with like, I'm really fun, and I am, but I also come with this baggage of I'm running a couple businesses and they take up a lot of time and I can't go anywhere without my laptop. And if someone in my office calls out sick, then I need to be available that day. It doesn't matter if I'm on vacation. So I'm glad that I was more authentic with how I presented myself in dating. Although I do think that, you know, dating, we could do a whole podcast on. I feel like men really give you like the high level, like, I don't know, the first date is like their resume. It's not like reality. And I felt like I showed up as like, this is who I am, the first date. So this is not a dating advice podcast. So I'm not good at dating. That's why we don't talk about it.
Guys, this is
not a dating advice podcast. But I tried to just really be who I was from the get-go, because I just felt like it was more authentic. But I did hire a coach, and I was told I have too much masculine energy, and that's why dating was really hard for me, because I led with that, and that's unattractive to men. Even if they say they want someone super independent and self-sufficient and makes a lot of money, that's not true. It's intimidating from the get-go.
What a generalization.
I know. I didn't agree, obviously, but that, and so I'm not surprised you're seeing all that stuff on TikTok about feminine and masculine energy. You know what I think it is? I think you have to find the right person, honestly, who's not intimidated by your own success and is self-assured enough in their own, right? Like, yeah, they're happy with themselves and what they've done with their lives and what they're doing, and they're not threatened, because I think a lot of it comes down to being threatened.
Yeah, definitely. Which I think that's basically all of it, is the insecurity, yeah, and their own ego.
Yeah. And they feel threatened by your success or what you've done, which is exactly what I think what happened with that relationship where I went from a waitress to being back on Wall Street. I think it was threatening. It was like, well, this isn't fair. Like, I have these degrees, and I am essentially, what he was saying is, I'm smarter than you and I'm more educated than you and I deserve to be paid more than you. And he basically was threatened by my income level.
That's going to be the episode of the podcast, from Waitress to Wall Street.
Or we can make it When Men Are Threatened by Your Income Level.
Yeah, When Men Are Threatened.
Honestly, yeah. You just have to find someone, I think, who's like secure in themselves and is happy to support you and what you want to make and what you want to do with your career. And isn't going to be threatened or feel insecure by that. Because, and that comes down to like what you see with people who bully people, right? Just because you shine your light doesn't mean it dims the other person's light, right?
Yeah.
Like, just because one person is succeeding doesn't mean it's at the demise of the other, you know? Obviously, you both can have lights that are shining bright. So I think it has to come from that sort of mindset versus the one where one person doing well is, you know, threatening the other or diminishing the other person's success.
Yeah, and success doesn't always even have to be monetary. Success doesn't have to be monetary. If you want to stay home, or if you want to do something 3 days a week, however, 20 hours a week, then you do you. It's just all about the communication. And I think that's the core of all of this, is like communicating this up front and not trying to hide who you actually are, because you think the other person's going to be intimidated or disappointed in you, then they're not your person.
100%. So for all of our type A breadwinning women out there, show that masculine energy. Do not hide it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I mean, you found someone that embraces that side of you.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Which is great. And he very much says on a regular basis, success is not monetary. Which is a good lesson for me to learn. Because it's not. But I've always tied it to monetary things. But it's not. It doesn't need to be that.
Yeah.
It's different for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say for all of our listeners, if you have any info on the topic or you want to chime in, like, please send us a message on Instagram. I think this topic is absolutely fascinating, and there'll probably be more and more research done around it as women continue to earn more money and make more sense on the dollar relative to male counterparts. And I know, Amy, you wanted to talk about burnout. So we do take a break, and we take a break because we need a little time to recharge. So this will be our last episode for the season, and then we will be replaying some of our favorites. So if you have an episode you would like to hear again, because we have 5 years of episodes now, which is crazy. So we will be replaying some of the favorites. So if you have a favorite you'd like to hear, shoot us a DM and we'll make sure that gets seen and we can get that out. But we'll be replaying episodes from now through January when we restart our season 6 in January of 2023.
Yeah. Can we all just make a round of applause for this podcast that it's been around now for 6 seasons or 5 seasons? We're coming up on 6.
6? It's crazy. It's crazy. I know.
Yeah.
And I do think we're going to make an attempt. It's more if I can fit it in the schedule. I want to make an attempt to do the topic ones. We were doing those Wine Wednesdays where we went over topics. So we'll see if we can make that happen because I thought those were really fun.
So we need this time to recharge, and wanted to just say thank you to everybody who supported us over the years. This podcast means so much to me, and I know it means a lot to Barbara, and it means a lot to a lot of people. So your support is invaluable.
Yes, thank you for listening, all of you who've listened and who've come on the show and done follow-up episodes. We love you and we appreciate you listening, and we look forward to restarting in January of 2023. And if you want to stay in touch, our most up-to-date information is always going to be on Instagram, and you can find us at Future Rich Podcast.